There's something about secret shows that, you know, we just can't get enough of. And when I say secret shows, I mean music performances with surprise guests announced day of, usually in intimate spaces. There's a great tradition of that kind of performance in Chicago. I mean, huge shows like Rolling Stones playing unannounced at blues clubs, or Smashing Pumpkins playing under different names, or Chance the Rapper showing up unannounced at local high school poetry nights. And I haven't even mentioned living room shows. The band Twin Peaks was just on talking about that concept. And that leads me to my guest in studio tonight, So Far Sounds. They've put this concept, this feeling, this tradition, and they've made it their business plan. So Far Sounds is a company that's producing secret shows, house shows, all over the world, right now in 268 cities, and right here in Chicago as well. The business was founded in London in 2010, and co-founder Rafe Offer is a former Chicagoan, and he is in studio tonight. Rafe, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, I mean, I love this concept of really combining the fun of a secret show and the this romantic notion of the house show. What led you to this? Where did this come from?
It came from being a fan, and it came from a problem. So I was at a gig in London, where I've lived for a while, with two friends, and the band was playing. I don't know if you or anyone listening has had this experience, but everything was wrong. The band was playing, and half the room was talking.
Right.
And they'd all paid like $10 to get in. And then secondly, you could hear the clang of the bar in the background, you know, mm-hmm. the beer bottles and
yeah,
all smashed.
Of course.
As if they should have been doing that, right? And then, of course, there are ubiquitous phones. So, you know, sometimes you can't even see the stage. So all of this was happening. And I kind of turned to my friend Rocky and said, this sucks. And there's got to be a better way. And that was when the idea was born. And then we turned to the other friend, Dave, who at the time was a musician, and said, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, how do you do that? I mean, to come up with an idea that you're going to produce an event and you're going to try to strip those things away, ultimately, you're talking about more theatrical type shows. You know, we just had a stand-up comedian who was on the show last week who talked about making a transition from the club to the stage because audiences are more attentive. Why not do that as opposed to, you know, going straight to the living room?
So the living room was an environment we could control. So it started as a hobby. We passed a hat and collected money that way. And it was just, we could tell people to just focus on the music and not talk. You can't do that in a bar. And so that was the first thing. The second thing is just people meet each other much more fluidly. It became a bit of a community.
Where you social turn, scene, right?
Yeah, bingo. People bring their own drinks. They turn to the person they're right. Here's some bottle of wine and bring a date and just sit on the living room and chill.
All right, so, you know, the concept is great when you're thinking up, you know, okay, let's do this. Getting musicians to buy into that concept. I mean, was that difficult where you're like, hey, we'd love, I mean, not even the musicians, but if you're calling the management company or you want somebody to come in, they're like, you want to do what now? What's a stage? What? Who? How did that play out?
It was incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. And it was only after doing this 3, 4, 5, 6 times, practically begging them to come, when they started to show up and go, oh my God, people are actually quiet. From a musician's perspective, they don't play events, especially when they're just starting out, when people are quiet. So that silence was incredible.
For you, I mean, obviously a band loading in into somebody's living room, audiences coming in, money exchanging hands, all that stuff is on the down low. I mean, that's the stuff that, you know, we know in Chicago from throwing house parties at any point that is not necessarily on the up and up. How do you get around that?
So at first it was just really pure. It was come, the band stripped back. A lot of it was acoustic. It was very much unplugged. And people just came together and said, you know what, if it can fit in the space, it can fit in my living room, then that'll be fine. And so it got later, as it got more sophisticated, it got a little more complicated, but generally it's just stripped back.
So the way to make this work is to strip the band back.
Yes. And also, you mentioned secret show.
Right.
So the beauty is nobody knows who's playing. So unlike most concerts where the band has to do part of the marketing, begging their friends and people who know them to come, with So Far, it's all new fans because no one knows who's going to play.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. But how do you, how do you cultivate a fan base when you can't use the band to do so?
So it was hard at first, but then it just became so different. Our first gig, when there were 8 people there sitting in a living room, we were watching this guy Dave play. It was so quiet, we could hear the clock ticking in the background. And we said to ourselves, this is how it should be. This is magical. So it's been attracting what I would call just real music fans who are there for the focus, for kind of taking music back to where it should be, a reverential, that person on stage is really special, and we don't have a stage, but, you know, in the kitchen or wherever,
right.
That person is someone we focus on. We think of it as, you don't go to a movie and talk. You don't go to, you know, a nice art gallery and talk, talk, talk. Why should it be different with music?
I think of this concept, and when I think of it as a sort of purist, even stripped down version, I think of colleges. I've known a lot of musician friends who say they have a gig at the University of Wisconsin, you know, where they're like playing in somebody's house. You know, they're playing or they're playing a living room show. And that's become a popular thing, especially among sort of stripped down bands. But in your case, you made this a business plan. Talk about what you did to harness that idea. It's not a new idea, but how did you harness that idea to be able to expand it to 268 cities?
So you're right. It's an old idea. We've just kind of put a fresh
It's a traditional one. It's a romantic one. I mean, I love it, right?
And yeah, it is romantic. In fact, people have fallen in love on the carpet.
That's
another story. a lot of the leaders actually who've started this in their cities are in college. So some reason that retro going back, put your phones down for a few minutes, has appealed a lot to folks who are in university or just getting out. But I think we made it into a quote unquote a business because it wasn't. It started as a hobby. And I did this for free for 4 years because I loved it. It was only after it got to like 15, 20 hours a week, I'm like, oh my God, I've got to figure something out here. And we started even selling tickets. So most of those people in those 268 cities are doing it because they love it. And there are only a few of the cities where we're trying it, like Chicago, mm-hmm. ramping it up, doing more shows, partially because we had to and partially because we had such demand. Usually it's 10 to 1 in terms of people want to come and sit in the living room and space. So we just have to do more and had to figure it out.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I'm interested in the business model of it because it does feel like a digital first type company. I mean, I kind of said it in the intro. It's almost the Uber of living room shows in the way that you're looking for people to be a part of this. You need the living rooms. You're not supplying the living rooms. You need people to engage and partner with you to make this happen. We're talking about So Far Sounds, a company producing secret house shows all over the world, 268 cities, right here in Chicago as well, which is So Far Sound Chicago. Rafe Offer is a former Chicagoan who lives in London now. He's a co-founder. He's in studio tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Rafe Offer in studio with me now. He's a co-founder of So Far Sounds. They produce secret house shows. I love the secret part. We haven't even talked about that. All over the world right now, 268 cities participating, right here in Chicago as well. You know, the musicians, we haven't talked about the musicians. One of the fun concepts of this is that it is a secret show, so you don't know what you're going to see. And therefore, you got to kind of have to make sure that that's good. I mean, some of the stuff I was watching from the So Far Chicago stuff is great. I mean, Lily Kay was on there. Saba was on there. So there's some great Chicago musicians. But how do you get these musicians to play?
So we get them to play first, as I was starting to mention earlier, because it's quiet, which is rare.
That's part of the pitch.
Second, they're tapping into a global network. So if someone plays in So Far Chicago, then they are eligible to play So Far LA or New York or London or where have you. Because we put them in a network and the alums were often supporting, even touring and getting them to play. So they're not just playing in one living room, one city. They're tapping into a global network of people who love what they're discovering and actually can help make a difference in their career.
So does that make you guys almost touring managers in the way that you're putting together tours for some artists that are going from town to town?
That's definitely a piece of it. I think of it as a community of people who are around the world coming together who just love music. And because there's such a network, we can tour bands if we want to. And we can give them a boost at the beginning of their career.
it reminds me of... And it's before my time, but it reminds me of like a 60s, like a late 60s. Everyone knew where the houses were that you would go to play, you know, the hippies would go to play acoustic music. Like, you know, got to go to Jesse's house and then we roll up through some friends in San Francisco. It's the same concept. It's just much more organized.
Yeah. And I think that's right. We got a little bit of inspiration from Greenwich Village, Bob Dylan, got Leonard Cohen, ripped off his name. Songs from Room is from an album of his, which became So Far Sounds. So yeah, it's definitely that sort of take your shoes off, as you said earlier, if you want to
sit down,
let your hair down.
Okay. So the musicians, how do you make sure that the musicians are the kind of thing that someone goes, ladies and gentlemen, the Michigan Avenues. And you're like, this band's terrible. Like, how do you make sure that you have the right musician for this kind of gig?
We have a group of people, and anyone in Chicago, just get in touch, but anyone can join a review group of about 5 to 10 people in every one of those cities we reference that listen and say yes or no. So it is a community vote. We don't care about Facebook likes or how many tweets you've had or anything like that, whether you're popular. It's just, would they blow you away in a living room setting? Would you enjoy hearing them? And we have a range of people of all ages and male, female, et cetera. And if they unanimously or close to that say yes, then we let them in.
Yeah, you're in, right?
Yeah.
And you have to have bands that are almost starting out or are under, have not yet been signed in any form, just because I would think the higher they get, they want their own name rec. They're not as into the concept of being anonymous.
It was like that at first. It's changed. So at first, like, we had in the early days, a band, Bastille.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
they played in my living room, and no one knew them. And it was great, and we helped them along early days, and years later they've really blown up. And then because of that, other bands like Leon Bridges played not long ago and Hosier. So they see it as a sort of going back to where they started.
That's interesting. And you get them in a way that obviously helps them, because their goal is to be seen by as many people as possible and to expand their audience, because in this case, this is all brand new people, because no one knew Bastille was going to play.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so those 80 people, or however many were sitting squeezed on the floor, yeah, it's all new. And for a higher, better-known band like, the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs, Karen O performed a secret show for us in New York, and we broadcast that and shared it around the world. Not everyone knows her. They may know her in New York, in the U.S. So even if you're a better-known band, it's a chance to expand your network.
It's for you, as a music lover, as just someone who kind of came up with this from being in a bar and you didn't want to watch the music that was in front of you. It's pretty impressive, and it's got to feel it's got to feel good in the sense that you have been able to create something that is at least a spin, and if not an improvement, on the music industry.
It's kind of surreal. Yeah. It's kind of humbling when all these people are know it and are participating. And you mentioned Uber in the intro, or Airbnb. We're trying to do something a bit different that solves a problem. And it's really fun for anyone out there to go to another city, not know anyone, sit down in a living room or somewhere even stranger. I was in Oslo not long ago, and they said, just get on the bus and go to the end of the line, which I did. And we got there, and there was a signpost on the tree: the gig is in the forest.
Now, there is a beautiful, and that's a great way to sort of get to the last thought here, is your connection to the secret show. I kind of brought it up and kind of, idealized it at the top about, the Rolling Stones are famous here in Chicago to go in the Checkerboard Lounge, where they just kind of showed up and then they got on stage. There's a great PBS documentary about that, or even at the Double Door. I remember myself standing in line to see the Smashing Pumpkins when they weren't called that, because they couldn't play in Chicago because they had a major label deal. And so they called themselves the Turtles or something different. And everyone knew it, but there was this camaraderie around the idea of the secret show. And I mentioned at the top just the concept of almost borrowing from the 80s, the rave scene of you don't know where it's at. So talk about how important it is to have that element as part of your business.
It's actually vital, because it's fun, to your point, and that's a big draw. But secondly, we can throw anything on to list, and if a band opts out, no one knows.
right.
Well, such and such. Well, you didn't know they were playing. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I guess that does take away that element, right?
But yeah, and there's usually three acts, so we can throw what you might expect, a folk singer, what have you, but we can put in a quartet or a looping beatboxer or a lot of poetry we have in the night. The final reason we have it was actually because we believe that everyone's equal, and we don't like the concept of the headliner and the little itty-bitty support act. So if everyone's equal and everyone comes for all the acts, it kind of makes sure that everybody gets the same respect.
That's interesting, and it has to, that the tool that you use is the the secret show. I mean, there's really no other way to do it, because you can't just put three names on something, because someone will say the first name is more important than the third name. You can't change the type font. It's like the size of it is the same. So it is true that the only way to do that is to not tell people who's playing.
Exactly. And it totally equalizes everything. You also never know who's going to show up in the audience. I was at a gig not long ago in New York, and next to me was somebody who was just there for the show, and I asked, why are you here? And she said, I'm here because my friend invited me, and we chatted for a few minutes, and I said, what do you do? She said, I'm an actress. I said, that's kind of fun. You know, it's really hard, isn't it? And I went on about how hard I thought it might be. She went up to go to the toilet. My friend comes back, goes, you were just giving acting advice to? I'm like, I have no idea. She goes, that was Scarlett Johansson.
There you go, see? She likes secret shows too. All right, so the concept, and I love it, is if you go to So Far Sounds, is it So Far Sounds Chicago? Is it that the website, So Far Sounds Chicago?
Backslash Chicago, yeah.
Backslash Chicago. You will see, and what I love about it is it'll say August, like this weekend, Wicker Park. It just says the name of the neighborhood, Wicker Park, Ravenswood, whatever it is.
Exactly.
And then you go there, and then you have to sign up. You sign up essentially to get the information that's sent to you on the day of.
You apply to come, because we still have, we're lucky, way more people want to come than we can fit in. So you apply to come, kind of randomize who comes. You get selected, you find out pretty soon, and then you can
you
pay
get the info.
A little bit for a ticket, and you get the info.
So you pay online with the ticket.
Bingo.
And then you're told where to go.
The night before.
I love it. This should have been, Pete, we should have done this as how to improve music clubs. I think we just did it, right?
Hey, maybe we'll have one in the studio one day. People will show up here.
Yeah, there you go. Let's get that would be fun. All right. Rafe Offer is a former Chicagoan. He's the co-founder of So Far Sounds, a company producing secret shows, house shows all over the world, 268 different cities, right here in Chicago as well. The website is sofarsounds.com/Chicago for Chicago. I can't thank you enough for coming in, Rafe. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure.